For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Practicing with little griefs. Our culture sees grief as kind of a malady, a terrifying, messy emotion that needs to be cleaned up and put behind us as soon as possible. And the reason I chose this topic is the last two, three times, maybe even more, at Mindful Moments when we check in, we hear about someone who's dealing with a loss or some kind of unwanted change. And we all have ideas of what our life should look like. And when our life's no longer meeting those expectations, we grieve the loss. Except that most of us don't bother grieving the loss. We just kind of brush it under the carpet. But change and death are really the only certainties in life. And so learning how to hold grief gently is vital to becoming more peaceful and learning to build a life around the losses that we're going to experience. I'm no expert on grief. I thought I would talk about grief, and as I got into it, I realized I don't know enough about grief to talk about the big things. But I realized that we don't have to practice on the big losses. That's like digging the well when you're thirsty. You want to dig the well before you're thirsty. And so we want to be able to cultivate our ability to turn toward grief and hold it lightly by practicing with the everyday griefs in our lives. So there's times where we want to hold on to moments of the past. For me, my son is training for the Milwaukee Marathon, and boy, do I grieve not being able to go running. I would have loved to have been able to do that with him. And it's just a little thing, but it's a loss that I can no longer run, you know, or very rarely run. And in my old self, I would have just ignored it and went on, okay, it stinks, life goes on, and ignored it. But if I want to practice learning to turn toward difficult emotions, I can turn toward it and say, yeah, it really does suck that I can't run. It really makes me sad. I'm very jealous when I see people out there running, and I can just allow myself to feel it. It doesn't change it, doesn't make me be able to run, because a loss can never be recovered. I mean, I may be able to run a little someday, but I'll never run like I did when I was in my 20s or 30s. It's just not going to happen. And so I have to learn to accept it and live with it and figure out what's my life going to be then if I can't run. You know, how am I going to build a life around this loss? Because the loss is always going to be there. You know, another loss is my body feels like it's falling apart. One of our last sessions, I couldn't walk across the room barely. You know, things are just going to fall apart. That's the nature of life. And I can just ignore it, or I can get really angry with myself and very judgmental, like, you stupid idiot, why'd you run all those years and wreck your body? Or I can just say, you know what, this is the nature of life. It's the nature of life to grow old and have things fall apart. And there's nothing I or anyone else can do to stop that from happening. You know, not having the energy I used to have. When my oldest grandkids were little, I could play with them all day long and still have energy. And now with the little ones, it's like, oh my gosh, I need it. Is it nap time yet? So I grieve the loss of energy. And you might think, well, that's not really grieving. Well, it's a little thing. But we're not going to compare how big our grief is versus how little. Anything that's upsetting to us is a grief. And if we can learn to turn toward that, then we're going to be better when we have the bigger griefs that come along, because we'll have more practice, we'll have built our grief muscles up and know how to grieve, not how to grieve the way we go through the five steps of grieving, but how to grieve in an authentic way for ourselves, which is not the same as the way for anybody else in the world. You know, in the past, I had other griefs like not getting a promotion I deserved, or my kids going off to college, or COVID ending our Thanksgiving bowling tradition in my family. There's lots of griefs that have happened that I just haven't processed. Jack Kornfield says, grief is one of the heart's natural responses to loss. When we grieve, we allow ourselves to feel the truth of our pain, the measure of betrayal or tragedy in our life. By our willingness to mourn, we acknowledge, integrate, and accept the truth of our losses. Sometimes the best way to let go is to grieve. It takes courage to grieve, to honor the pain we carry. I never thought about honoring any pain. I just thought about getting rid of it. So I never really thought any of the little losses that I just talked about really brought up grief. But with 2020 hindsight, I see they did. I just never allowed myself to feel the grief. Every time we experience a loss, no matter how little, it is painful. You know, even breaking your favorite coffee mug, it's painful. And we have to accept that it's painful instead of just sweeping these griefs under the carpet. Because if we don't want to feel the pain, the only thing we can do to make the pain not be felt is to contract. And when we contract, we get smaller and we get tighter and we have tunnel vision. And we have to be really careful about what we do, because there are things that are going to remind us of that pain, and then we're going to have to push it back down. And we're going to be playing whack-a-mole because we never know when it's going to come up. And so one of the things that we can do instead of contracting so we don't feel the pain is turn towards the pain with a little bit of self-compassion. Being aware that, yes, this is painful. Being kind to ourselves instead of letting our inner critic judge us. And realizing that this is just part of being human. Things are not always going to go how we want. We're going to lose people we love. We're going to lose the bodies that we had. That's just life. David Kessler says, sometimes we try not to feel what we're feeling because we have this image of a gang of feelings. If I feel sad and let that in, it'll never go away. That gang of bad feelings will overrun me. The truth is a feeling that moves through us. We feel it and it goes, and then we go to the next feeling. There's no gang out to get us. It's absurd to think that we shouldn't feel grief right now. Let yourself feel the grief and keep going. The grief that I had after my mom passed away felt like a gang of feelings ganging up on me. There were so many feelings, it was overwhelming. But when I went outside onto the beautiful snow-covered lake, I calmed down a little bit. The painful feelings contract us in our viewpoint, but positive feelings like enjoying the beautiful snow-covered lake provide a little more spaciousness so we can see life from a wider perspective. By calming down, I saw that there were many feelings, and I didn't have to deal with all of them at once. Looking back, I realized there would have been a lot fewer of them to deal with if I had practiced all the little griefs I was ignoring, because those were what were coming up. Any little grief I had that related to my mother and also to my dad's death, who had died like 5 years before my mom. So the project manager in me thought I could impose some order on my pain because I needed to be in control. I could list what each of the feelings underneath the grief were, and one by one I could process them. But it doesn't work that way. We can't create a plan for our grief. All we can do is deal with the feelings that come up when we have the strength to do so, and distract ourselves when we don't have the strength to do so. Taking a break from overwhelming grief might feel impossible, but it's really necessary. That's why we have to practice taking a break and letting in the good when we have little griefs, so we get better and better at saying, not now, I will deal with you, but I need to strengthen myself and let in some joy, some goodness. Megan Devine says, we think there are only two options in grief. Either you're stuck in your pain, or you're going to triumph over grief and be transformed. But there's a whole middle ground between those two extremes. A way to tend to pain and grief by bearing witness, by neither turning away nor rushing redemption, but by standing there, right there, inside the obliterated universe, by somehow making a home there. So when we experience a loss, we need to acknowledge the loss. Telling ourselves it's no big deal or other people have it worse does nothing to fix your grief. It helps hide it and helps you contract to hide that pain. The loss is real, and it will always be a loss. The only thing we can do is learn to integrate that loss into our lives. And as we do that, the pain's not going to go away, but it won't feel so overwhelming. We can either choose to ruminate on the loss, pretend there's no loss, or we can figure out what our new life looks like with this loss and live that new life. Ostachevsky says, when confronted by harsh realities in life, or even some small discomfort or inconvenience, our instinctive reaction is to run in the opposite direction. But we can't escape suffering. It'll just take us by surprise and whack us in the back of the head. The wiser response is to move toward what hurts, to put our hands and attention gently and mercifully on what we might otherwise want to avoid. Think about that. When something goes wrong, many of us who are in the I've got to do things and fix it, we just move into fixing, and we don't even bother to see how it made us feel, and we don't mourn that loss, whatever that loss might have been. So how can we learn to turn toward and to live with our losses? I have a whole slew of ideas that I've gathered from numerous different people, especially the ones I quoted so far. And the reason there's so many is because not everyone's going to work for every person. Everybody has to create their own way to deal with grief. And so if you work with the little griefs and try some of these out, you'll figure out which ones work and which ones don't. And then when some overwhelming grief comes up, you'll know which tools are helpful and which tools are not. And I think that's really important, especially as we age and we'll find more and more losses in our lives. So the first one is realize that grief is not a problem to be solved. I have a sister who said, well, if he would have been with this person more before she died, he wouldn't have to be grieving so bad right now. As if the goal is to get rid of grief. But grief is a natural human reaction. I've heard it said that grief is love with nowhere to go. Everyone experiences grief, but we don't always show it. And there's no right way to grieve. So don't compare your messy interior with someone else's carefully curated exterior. You may find that you're not doing grief as well as they are because they seem so in control and just fine, but you don't know what they're like inside. And it could be they're not processing the grief, it could be they're numb. So grief is not a problem to be solved. It's something to be with. And so if we want to learn to be with it, we can practice by meditating on the little losses you experience. Allow yourself to feel the pain of your little losses. Just turn toward it and see, where's that pain? Where do I feel it in my body? What's it telling me? Maybe what am I believing about it? That's going to build your tolerance for being with discomfort. Our culture has taught us to just get pleasure, 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 and push pain away. But we don't really want to do that. We want to learn to be with our pain as well, to hold it like we'd hold a crying baby. Because that's kinder to ourselves, and it's going to make the pain less overwhelming. So we want to build our tolerance for discomfort. We want to get to, as Pema Chodron would say, get to our edge and soften it. Because then our tolerance for discomfort, the window of tolerance, gets bigger and bigger. And we can handle more and more. We get stronger and stronger. Whereas we turn away from pain, we get weaker and weaker. Because we don't know that we can handle the pain. And so we're always pushing it away and getting weaker. Another is treating yourself as you would a good friend. Talk to yourself kindly, allowing your feelings. There's a lot of places where grief might show up in your body. For me, it's right here, as you notice, whenever something I say that is hard for me to say or emotional, I put my hand here. For other people, it might be putting your hand on your face or even just on your arm. Take a moment to just try those different touches and see how they feel for yourself. Do it as if you're holding someone who is very precious, because you are. And if you treat yourself like a good friend, you're going to listen to that inner nurturer who's whispering, and you're going to silence that inner critic who's yelling and judging you. And again, that takes a lot of practice. Another one is to reach out for support. And you need lots of different kinds of support when you're grieving. You need people who can support you in your grief. You need people who can go deep with you. You need people who can distract you. And you need people who can listen. You need lots of different people. One of the things that happens when we're grieving is we isolate ourselves. We feel like we're the only one in the world that is experiencing something so awful. And while we don't want to compare our griefs with others, we don't want to pull away and go into our shell, because that's when we need the support. So each of those groups of people plays a role, giving you the strength you need to be with your grief. There's also people that you don't need who are telling you how to grieve and how to get past it. And it may be that this is a time where you spend less and less time with those people because they're not good for you. They don't understand. They don't understand grief at all, but they think they do. They think grief is a problem to be solved, and it's not. So you're looking for people so that you don't feel isolated, because one of the biggest strengths you have in dealing with grief is to have a feeling of connection. Because part of the grief is you lost a connection. So you need other connections, not to take its place, but to strengthen you. Another one is to think about how you've overcome similar challenges in the past. How have you dealt with the negative things in your life in the past? And if you start practicing with your little griefs, you'll have lots of them as examples for yourself on how you got through it. Remind yourself the things you did to help navigate your grief or the challenges of the past. Because again, that gives you the confidence that you can get through it. The lack of confidence is what makes it feel awful, overwhelming. Trust that you'll take care of yourself. One of the things I realized in my journey to mindfulness is that I did not trust myself to take care of myself. I trusted myself to take care of everybody else in the world, but I didn't trust myself to take care of myself. And if I could trust myself, then I can trust myself that I can learn to live with whatever loss comes my way. I don't have to compare my grief with anyone else's grief. I don't have to look at how I'm doing with my grief versus expectations that people have for how they think I should be grieving. But I can be true to myself and let grief unfold in my own way. Not let grief unfold according to the five stages that are not really stages, but five different things that happen, not necessarily in that order, by, I can't remember the woman's name who did the five stages of grief. But I can grieve the way Gloria needs to grieve. And it's not going to be the way anyone else needs to grieve. The next one is ask for what you need at any given moment. When someone's grieving, if you're like me, you're really nervous about what should you do, what should you say, what should you offer. And there are times where I just jump in and I'm going to fix everything for them, which isn't good. And there are other times where I hold back and I let them be, even though maybe they would have wanted me to be there. So I was on an airplane a year or so ago, and a woman who was sitting in the middle seat was just crying. And I looked at her and I said, "Do you want to talk or would you rather be alone?" And the guy who was sitting in the window seat said, "Wow, I've never heard anyone ask that before." And none of us were together. But the woman was just very happy. She did want to talk about it, and talked about it the entire trip, but that was okay. That was what she needed. But we don't ask for what we need. And we think that the people we love can read our minds and figure out what we need. And they can't. They don't know. Remember, they're probably contracted a little because they see us in grief and they don't want to see us in grief. They want us to be happy. And so we've got to learn to say, what I need right now is this. I need to be alone. I need you to quit bringing me food. Or I need you to bring me food. Or I need you to quit telling me to move on. Or I need to quit telling me how I should grieve. We have to tell people what we need. And maybe it's, I just need a shoulder to cry on when I need a shoulder to cry on. So you can't expect people to know what you need. And you know what? This is hard for people like me. Because even today, if my husband said, "What do you want right now?" or "What do you need?" I'd be like, I don't know. I'm just fine, you know. So we have to learn to figure out what it is we need. And by doing it when life is okay, we'll be better at it by the time life is not so okay. The next one is distract yourself when the grief feels like it's too much. Because there are times the grief is too much. And if you keep feeling that grief, you're going to go into a panic attack or depression or something really difficult. So you've got to say, it's okay to distract myself. I don't have the strength to deal with it. In all the reading I did, it reminded me of how guilty you feel, feeling joy when you're supposed to be grieving. It reminded me of the women in prison when I was talking about joy, saying, I can't be joyful, I'm in prison, and I'm not with my kids. Like it was wrong to have some joy, when actually that's exactly what they need to strengthen them, to give them the strength to make it through the day, is to experience little moments of joy, letting in some good. Spending time in nature, listening to music, watching puppy videos, or whatever gives you a moment of pleasure. Remember that when we allow positive things into our life, we feel more positive feelings. That gives us a little more openness so we can widen our perspective and see the bigger picture. That's what happened when I walked down that snow-covered lake when I was grieving my mom. I let in the good, and I was able to see things in a different way. Another is to keep a gratitude journal, but sometimes when you're grieving, that's too difficult to look at what you're grateful for. And so what you might do is just count your wins, the positive things you do each day. And a win can be getting out of bed, could be eating breakfast, it could be taking a shower, just looking for the positive things that you've done. Because what we're trying to do with our brain is switch off some of the negative and switch on some of the positive. Because when we have all that negative, we've got our blinders on and the whole world looks terrible. And it looks like it'll never change. And it looks like we're the only ones suffering like this and we'll be suffering forever and it will never go away. But if we allow ourselves to see just the littlest bit of good, that yeah, I did get up and take a shower today, or I did have the strength to do whatever it was. And just savor the fact that you're doing something. You feel like it gives you a little bit of a feeling of control. And one of the things about grief is that we feel helpless. So we have to take and pay attention to the actions we're taking that give us a little bit of control over our lives. And the last one is think about what your life can be. Instead of ruminating on the loss, saying this is terrible, I can't live with this, and so on. And you can't do this in the throes of overwhelming grief. But after a time, you can start saying, maybe it's time for me to start looking at what is my life going to look like? How can I build a life around this loss? What can I do? How can I be the author of the next chapter of my life? So you want to spend some time thinking about what could your life be? What goals do you have? What's your purpose now? And you know, a lot of people who have experienced tragedy have gone on to really be helpful to other people because they found purpose in helping others avoid the tragedy that they had to live with. And that's not necessarily what you're going to do. It could be just learning to live your life, whatever that might be. Megan Devine says, that's the real work of grief recovery, finding ways to live alongside your loss, building a life around the edges of what will always be a vacancy. So I don't know if you're like me, but when I was reading that list, I was overwhelmed about all the things that I really need to practice, that I haven't really practiced. And if I want to be able to handle grief, I need to look at some of those things more seriously. And they may not be part of my meditation practice, but they should be part of my life practice. And the only way to do that is to have an intention that I'm going to work on this one and then I'm going to, and they're the project manager in me probably will work, and then I'm going to work on this one, and so on. So